beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of June 4, 2005, this is the Rain Report. Note to our listeners, for reasons beyond our control, the Rain Report last week did not get posted until Tuesday. But never fear, it's still online as last week's program on rainreport.com, thanks to audio underwriting by CQ Communications. That program was the first excerpt from the 2005 Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum. This week, we'll have part two of that talk by William Cross, W3TN, an employee of the Public Safety and Critical Infrastructure Division of the FCC's Wireless Bureau.
The second area I wanted to talk about was some of the commission items that are pending. The first one is the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking in Docket WT04140. This is the proceeding that proposes phone band expansion. It was released April 15th and addressed 20 petitions for rulemaking. What I'm going to do is summarize what we proposed and what the comments generally said. The main proposal in this docket is to eliminate the Novice and Technician Plus class telegraphy bands and use that spectrum to expand the portion of 80 and 40 meters that may be used for phone communications. Novice and Technician Plus class licensees would be authorized CW privileges in what you all refer to as the General and Advanced Class CW bands. They also would be authorized CW Iridian data emissions in 28 to 28.3 megahertz. Generally, you all seem to support this proposal. There are requests that we establish even wider phone bands, particularly in the 75-meter band. Expanding that phone band down to 3,600 kilohertz or using the entire novice band for phone is suggested in a number of comments. Other commenters suggest that we use the current novice bands for digital and experimental communications. With regard to data communications, the proposal in the notice was to allow your station to transmit an image emission 500 hertz or less on frequency segments now authorized for data and RIDI. 500 hertz or less was requested so that the narrow bandwidth nature of these bands is maintained. A number of comments support this proposal, noting that these kinds of emissions, the image emissions, are already being transmitted and it does not cause any problem. They also note the proposal would allow communications with other amateur stations using MFSK to transmit images, and it would allow amateur radio to make the most of new computer programming and technology. The ARRL supports the idea, but wants a different definition so that analog emissions cannot be transmitted. There also is a question as to whether we should hold off on allowing any changes like this until the ARRL files a petition to change the basis of regulation from emission types to bandwidth. Last I read on their website, this petition probably would not be filed until later this year at the earliest. Now, auxiliary stations. Auxiliary stations are used for repeaters and remote base control links, among other things. Auxiliary stations are also used when remote controlling something, turning on or off a remote receiver in a 2-meter network or an HF transceiver, for example. The proposal is to allow auxiliary stations to transmit on the 2-meter band above 144.5 megahertz, except in the satellite segment. The proposal does not affect beacon stations, space stations, earth stations, or those frequency segments used for simplex and weak signal work. Here your comments are mixed. Some commenters say that 2 meters is too crowded to allow auxiliary stations. Others say it is not heavily used in their area and could be used on IRLP systems or internet gateway stations. Other commenters express concern with interference to current operations or request that additional segments of the 2-meter band be excluded from auxiliary station use. Fred spectrum is another emission type that you all currently are authorized in the rules. It is allowed on any amateur service frequency above 420 megahertz. The proposal is to authorize SS emissions on 222 to 225 megahertz. We also requested comment regarding whether we should allow transmission of SS on either or both the 6 and the 2-meter band. One commenter supported the proposal, saying that it would help with experimentation. The ARRL also supports permitting a spread spectrum in 222 to 225, but not in the 2 and 6 meter band. Other comments opposed the proposal, arguing that there's been no showing that the bands presently available are insufficient. Many comments ask for frequency set-asides for particular operating activities, such as weak signal work and the satellite segments. Retransmission of space station communications. Here, the rules already allow you to retransmit the communications from space shuttles. The proposal was to allow retransmission of communication between any manned spacecraft, such as the International Space Station, and its associated Earth stations. Generally, you seem to support this as an activity good for public service communications and not really different than retransmitting space shuttle communications. One fellow said that retransmission between manned spacecraft and Earth stations can provide additional stimulation to our youth who may become more interested in technology and ham radio. Vanity call signs. The in memoriam provision. Our proposal is to allow currently licensed amateur radio operators to designate a specific radio club to acquire their call sign in memoriam. As the rules are now, a licensee, that means you, cannot express a desire as to which radio club receives your call sign in memoriam. But any of your relatives can, even ones you don't know and don't like. And ones you don't want to admit to. A recipient club would still have to apply for the call sign before former holders or relatives of deceased former holders applied in order to get the call sign. The other thing with vanity call signs was multiple applications. Here, you requested that we amend the rules to prohibit acceptance of more than one application per applicant for a vanity call sign. The issue is equity and fairness, according to the petitioners, and the applications have switched from paper applications in 1996 to primarily electronic applications today. Comments on the vanity call sign rule changes are mixed. Some of the comments express concern about willing of call signs and are afraid many good ones could be tied up. Others agree that the present system puts too much of a burden on non-ham family members, but want some prearrangement so that a club does not end up with 100 call signs when 100 members die. The ARRL opposes the proposal because it would make a call sign a property right, and it questions what kind of document would be sufficient. What some commenters seem to have forgotten is that even if a licensee were allowed the option of designating the radio club to receive their call sign, the club would still have to apply for the call sign, just as they do now. Also, that others, such as former holders and relatives of deceased former holders, would still be able to apply for the call sign, as they may now.
You're listening to a talk by William Cross, W3TN, an employee of the Public Safety and Critical Infrastructure Division of the FCC's Wireless Bureau. Cross will conclude his FCC update in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for Rain audio.
10 and 12 meter capable amplifiers. Our rules currently prohibit commercial manufacturers from marketing to amateur radio operators amplifiers that are capable of transmitting on the 12 meter and 10 meter amateur band. But you can make, modify, or buy and have modified an amp so that it is capable of transmitting on the 12 and 10 meter band. Our proposal is to clarify and simplify the exceptions in the rules and eliminate the restrictions imposed on manufacturers as compared to the restrictions imposed on amateur radio operators. The proposals would allow manufacturers to market equipment in the U.S. that they now may market overseas. We also propose to delete the definition of an external RF power amplifier kit, a definition so broad that no one could determine if a group of electronic parts he or she purchases or possesses will be defined as an external RF power amplifier kit. I'll only say this about the comments we received. You all really liked this proposal. RACES. Presently, procedures for the use and coordination of the radio spectrum during national emergencies are specified, among other places, in Part 201 and 214 of the Commission's rules. Authority rests with the Director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, an office that answers directly to the President. The Director may issue policy guidance, rules, regulations, procedures, and directives to assure effective frequency usage during wartime emergency communications. The director, OSTP, has the authority to specify which, if any, frequency segments RACI stations and other amateur stations may transmit on. The proposal we made in the notice was to delete the frequency bands and segments specified for RACI stations, and to clarify that during certain emergencies, the frequency segments available to RACI stations and amateur stations participating in RACIs would be authorized pursuant to Part 214 of our rules. The ARRL supports this change, agreeing that the specification of RACI's frequencies is unnecessary, but only if we cross-reference to Part 214 of the rules. Other comments we received also support the proposal. One fellow, however, wants us to allow control operators to accept compensation for periods of time when the station is transmitting messages when a local, regional, or national emergency has been declared by a duly appointed civil defense or civil preparedness authority. The last item is one I know you're interested in, I wish I had more to say about, was the petitions that were filed regarding the code requirement from the 2003 World Radio Conference. We have received and assigned rulemaking numbers to 18 of these that request rule changes based on the changes in the international radio regs. What I'm going to do is briefly summarize what the petitions request so you get a flavor of what is before us. The summaries will be brief. I do not claim they include everything each petitioner requested. Most of the petitions request that we eliminate the Morse code requirement for the Technician Plus and General Class licenses, and that we keep three classes of licenses as we have now. The reasons are varied, but there seems to be some agreement on this point. A few of the petitions request that we keep the 5 word per minute requirement for the amateur extra class license. One or two of the petitions request that we increase the code speed proficiency required for the amateur extra class license, or that there be no changes in the present Morse code tests for licenses that give privileges below 30 megahertz. FISTS requests that we retain the 5 word per minute code test for the general class license and require a 12 word per minute code test for the amateur extra class license. A few petitions request that we automatically upgrade advanced class licensees to the amateur extra class. A number of the petitions request changes in operating privileges for technician class licensees. One petition requests that we allow the same CW data and RIDI privileges for the technician, technician plus, and novice class licensees and give them some phone and image privileges. This would include SSTV on 80 and 40 meters. Another petition requested that we allow Technician Plus class licensees access to the top 50 kilohertz of the general phone bands on certain bands and allow a maximum of 100 watts ERP. A few petitions, including the ARRL and the National Conference of VECs and a couple others, request a comprehensive restructure of operating privileges, including a new class of operator license. The NCVEC new class operators license would be the communicator class with distinctive call signs. There is a lot coming down the pike you need to watch and know about. First, there will be a notice of proposed rulemaking that will address the work 03 petitions relating to the code issue. At this point, it appears that what we will do is combine the 18 petitions into one notice. The Commission will develop one proposal that it will put forward in the notice, and you will have a chance to comment on that proposal. I suspect that the notice of proposed rulemaking will be coming out either late summer or this fall. We generally allow fairly long time frames for comments because of your magazines wanting a publishing time, so comments would be in either very late in 2005 or 2006, and after that a report and order would be written. There also may be items coming out of other bureaus, such as OET and the Office of Managing Director. OMD has proposed, for example, that the fee for your vanity call sign will remain what it is, the $20.80. A report and order will come out later saying what the final fee will be. You will see some of these coming out later this year. There also is a report and order to be written for the proposal involving phone band expansion. Second, planning has already started for the next World Radio Conference. Possibilities in that work of an allocation for the amateur service in the low part of the spectrum seems to be the major amateur radio item that is being considered. Third, there will have to be some kind of action to implement work changes that have not been included in the items that we have released so far. The 2003 World Radio Conference did an awful lot more than address proficiency in Morse code. International rules on call sign formats, third-party communications, and other rules were also changed. Lastly, keep your eye on legislation that has been introduced on Capitol Hill. A couple of bills have been introduced that may be of interest to you. One could help you with antenna installation issues. Another is a reintroduction of the bill that addresses spectrum allocation or reallocation matters. There also has been talk that Congress may want to take another look at parts of the Communications Act later this year. I'm sure that the Amateur Radio Press will keep you informed on these issues.
William Cross, W3TN, an employee of the Public Safety and Critical Infrastructure Division of the FCC's Wireless Bureau. Next time, we'll hear from the ever-popular Riley Hollingsworth in our final FCC Forum excerpt. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2005 Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN.